Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
International Women's Day is celebrated in March each year. When it comes to financial matters, women are still behind in terms of income, superannuation balances, and often confidence in investing. Our March issue of Money Magazine pays special attention to women and talks to financial advisors about what women should be thinking about in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s and beyond. Today I have with me the author of the women's feature, journalist Nicola Field, and financial advisor Anne Graham. Thank you, Anne and Nicola, for joining me today.
Thanks.
Thanks, Julia.
So, Nicola, let's start with you. Why do you think it's important to focus on women at this time?
Look, as a woman, this is obviously an area that I feel very strongly about. And as you mentioned, there are some real challenges that women can face. We have a fairly significant gender pay gap, but we also know that women face broken work patterns, either from raising children or at the other end of the spectrum, when they have to care for older parents as they reach perhaps their 50s and 60s. But, you know, women, whilst they face those challenges, with the right tools and support, they can be excellent money managers. And I've come across plenty of research that shows women are actually better investors than men. So it is possible to forge ahead financially as a woman, and it can be extremely empowering to take control of your own financial well-being.
So what were some of the lessons that you learned in writing this piece that seemed to really resonate with you?
Look, there were a lot of lessons there. I think the standard norms of budget and save and don't let your spending be dictated by keeping up with the Joneses, they all came in there. But there were a couple of things that really resonated with me. The first was to really take control of your financial future on your own terms. So if you're in your 20s, acknowledge that you may have had your views around money shaped by your parents, but take it, you know, set your own goals, create your own steps. At the other end of the scale, if you're in your 40s or even 50s and 60s and 70s, don't let regrets bog you down. So it's very easy to think, gee, I wish I'd started investing earlier, or I wish I'd built more savings when I was younger. Don't let yourself be held back by that. Turn a fresh page, write your own future, and always look ahead. And as I say, make it on your terms.
So, Anne, as an advisor, do you have different types of conversations with your male and female clients about their financial plans?
Yeah, I think so, actually. But there might be subtle differences, and it can depend on whether you're dealing with a couple and it's mainly the woman that's running it or the guy that's running it. So, but it's like anything, you know, you speak to people in the language they can understand. But yeah, I think with women, often when we see female clients, older clients, they'll apologise for not having managed their money better, or they should have had more. So it's the no regrets that Nicola spoke to, which I'll say to them, well, that was then, this is now. You don't often get men saying that sort of reflective conversation. Sometimes they're less confident in, and yet they might have managed a household budget, but they're not confident in taking the steps around larger balances, for example. But yeah, the language might be a little bit different, bit more nuanced, but essentially it's the same message of, you know, being in control of your own money and making decisions. And as Nicola said, you know, do it your own way. So, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat in financial planning, and you just have to find the right method for the right person.
So would women maybe ask you different questions, which will ultimately lead to the same results?
Yeah, that's probably a good observation. Or not know what questions they want to ask. And so, you know, we know what information we need to help clients, so we might prompt them and then get things going for them. But they often come from a place of more curiosity, less confident, possibly because they haven't been working long or they've had that broken work history. They're just, and often it's at a juncture too, you know. So most people see a financial advisor when there's a catalyst or a change coming along. So it's a change of job, a relationship, or a, you know, thinking of retirement. So they're big things in their lives as well. So yeah, I'd say the questions are slightly different.
And would women want more or less explanation, or just a different explanation?
Possibly different. I'd say more than less, but most people need more, whether they admit it or not. So some people are quite competent up front, and as you dig a little bit deeper, and also as they learn to trust you, you know, they don't mind sort of admitting they don't know everything. But, I think the information provided is different. The questions are different. I'm generalising. And dealing with women advisors too is a different conversation. So if a female client saw, you know, a male advisor, it might be different again. Yeah, it's interesting. It's you can often see how the conversation, just an initial conversation, can help someone move along and give them a bit of confidence and certainty, I think.
And do you think that younger generations are different with the way they look at money? And is there maybe a growing confidence with younger generations that you see, Anne?
In some of them, not across the board. I mean, you know, young people aren't always very good with their money. But I think now, I mean, compared to, say, when I was in my 20s and I was working in finance back then, there's so much more information available and so many more ways of doing it yourself. So, you know, online broking, you never had that back in the day. You had to go to a full service broker, cost an arm and a leg. You know, only rich people bought shares, whereas now it's really democratized and a lot of people can access these things. So, and on apps, so younger people can be a bit more sophisticated about those sorts of things, and there are a lot more tools, but they can also be really foolish and just ignorant. And that's okay, because, you know, your 20s are a time you can take risk as long as it's managed. You know, so if you want to invest in crypto or you want to have a punt on some stock you've heard about, just, you know, invest the amount you're willing to lose. And it's a lesson learned if it goes sour.
That's good advice, isn't it? You know, risk the amount of money you're willing to lose. And what lessons would you think that women should start early about when it comes to managing their money?
Pay attention, I think, is one thing. You know, just be aware, and it's not about not buying the you know, cappuccino or spending money on this, that or the other. It's more around just know where your money's going, be conscious of it, and that way you can make decisions about it. You don't want to, you know, get a credit card bill that's higher than you'd be comfortable with just because you weren't paying attention to the things that you were buying. I reckon attention, and educate yourself, you know, sort of ask questions, read books. But not everyone's really interested in it. It can be pretty dry.
Yeah, I guess it's, you know, the whole idea is, what is money about and what do you want it for? And I guess that's the conversation that most people will at some point have. Do you think that, Anne, there's ever a point where it's just too late to improve your financial situation?
It's never too late. It just depends on how much it can be improved. So, and if you're talking about the clients that we see, usually there is some money to invest or some superannuation or something, even if it's just someone going on, say, a full age pension at retirement. They usually don't have debt issues, or if there's a debt, it's against a property that they might be able to sell and downsize. So there's always something that can be done in that sort of client grouping. And even if financially you're no better off, it's a confidence thing, and it's a conversation around accepting that this is the situation I'm in. No point looking at the Joneses and think and comparing yourself and saying, if I, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, if only I'd done this differently, if only I'd bought that property, you know, 20 years ago. What's done's done. But if you can move on with your current position, try and improve it a bit. But, you know, we've got clients that live very frugally and they're really comfortable with that and they don't sort of want anything to change. And we've got others that are always looking at the next best thing, always looking at someone else's property or a new car, and they're living a life of misery because they're never going to attain that. And yet it doesn't change their situation. So I think the takeout is, understand where you are, know what you can do with it, and sort of live with it.
And you get a lot of clients who are coming up to retirement. And are there times where you get to tell them really great news, like they're in a better financial position than they thought they'd be, or they can live better or retire earlier, anything like that?
Oh, yeah. That's the best part of the job. That's so good. You know, we've sort of talked to people about, why don't you buy a property, you know, a home, not an investment, but they'd be ranting, oh, I can't afford to do that. Well, you probably can if you want to live in a slightly different area. And so that just opens up a whole world of opportunity. But often it's older women don't realise they're in a good position because they're not very confident. So they'll come along and they'll say, here's my super, here's my, you know, financial situation. Can I retire? And you'll say, well, you know, what do you want to live on? Because it's always around that lifestyle. And often it's relatively modest. And so when you look at it, you go, yeah, sure you can. You know, you've got a bit of super, you can get some pension if that's the way you want to go. You explain the rules, but it just and it's such a weight off their mind because they'll be working and they'll might not be really happy with their job, but knowing they can stop gives them a bit of incentive to keep going. You know, and if they decide things just aren't going the way they want, they can then retire and they know they're comfortable. So, yeah, it's not uncommon to be able to give really good news. And then they'll thank you. Thank you, Anne. It's like, I didn't do anything. I just gave you the information, but I'll take it.
But I guess that's what the sleep at night test is that people talk about when they talk about, you know, financial advice and the value of it, the ability to see that they're okay.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's and having a fresh set of eyes look at it objectively and telling them what they thought might have been the case but they weren't sure because, you know, stopping an income that you've had for 40 years is a big deal when you retire and it's often not the fear of missing out, it's the fear of running out. So, you know, the thing is, have I got enough to last me my lifetime? And that's where we try and help people see that they can or change things so that they've got a better chance of achieving that goal.
So that's a new one we've learnt today, 4-0, the fear of running out. Now, Nicola, you and Anne, you both have daughters, and are you happy with the way they manage their money? Are there things that you look at the girls and think, oh, I wish they, you know, had more confidence or they did things differently?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because as a personal finance journalist, money has always been something we've discussed around the kitchen table. It's never been a taboo topic. And I'm actually really pleased with the way all my kids manage their money, except perhaps my 15-year-old, who I think is spending way too much at the school canteen, but that's another story. But the adult kids who are in their 20s, I have two boys and one girl, and it has been really interesting watching their different approaches. I think overall, I'm sure my daughter's not going to be very happy with me saying this, but overall, the boys are much more aggressive with their money. So I have one son is about to buy a small business for himself, which is very exciting. My other son started investing in shares when he was about 18 and just ready to leave school, and he's now got a pretty impressive share portfolio, which is great. My daughter is ticking all the boxes for good money management. She budgets, she saves, she questions every purchase. She's brilliant like that. And she's got some significant savings to her name, which, again, is fantastic. But we're having conversations now around can she make that money work harder? And so she's starting to invest in exchange-traded funds, which is wonderful. But, yeah, I think that's probably a fairly typical difference, really, where the boys are just a bit more aggressive with the way that they make their money work harder.
Yeah, very interesting. What about you, Anne?
Kind of the opposite, really. So my kids are in their 20s. My son's the older one. And I think my daughter's been more interested. So both me and my husband are financial advisors. So, you know, we've had the conversations as well just generally throughout their lives. And my daughter is a great saver and she's invested. She had a stock that was in medicinal cannabis for a while and that was a bit of a failure, but, you know, she had a crack. But she's a bit more willing to take chances with her finances. My son's more conservative, but he's probably more conservative by nature. So I think personality played a bit there. But they're both good managers with their money. I mean, there's things, you know, Uber Eats is the bane of our lives, but, you know, you've got to eat. So, and it's within, you know, within reason. So they're both good. I think those open conversations in family environments are really worthwhile because then it takes that fear of the unknown out of the equation. We never talk specifics around salaries or debt or any of that sort of stuff. It was generally, it was more in principle. but we'd answer questions and things. So the main reason was we didn't want half the school to know what we earned when they were younger.
Fair enough. So, and if there's one lesson that you can help to teach women for International Women's Day, what would you like to leave it with?
Don't be afraid to ask questions. That's, you know, you'll never, there's no dumb question really. And the more you understand about things, the more confidence you'll get. And if decision making. So sometimes there's a bit of procrastination because of the uncertainty. Just dip your toe in the water. You don't have to go in, you know, all at once. You can take your time.
And Nicola?
Well, there is one thing that all the experts I spoke to mentioned at every age group. And I think it is important in view of the gender pay gap. And it's around women being paid what they're worth. So men tend to be much more likely to push their barrow in a pay review, whereas women are happy to walk away with a CPI increase. So you've got to go into those conversations around a pay review with a bit of research, with salary guides to back up what you're worth in the market. Have written down on a piece of paper maybe what you've done to add value to the firm, and then take those to the negotiating table, because it's really important to be paid what you're worth, and it's you taking a step towards closing your own gender pay gap.
That is really great advice. Thank you for that, Nicola, and thank you, Anne. Thank you both for joining me today. It's been a great conversation, and happy International Women's Day to you both.
Thanks, Julia.
You too, Julia. Thank you.
You've been listening to journalist Nicola Field and financial advisor Anne Graham for International Women's Day. Thanks for joining us, and please remember, you can listen to Friends with Money wherever you listen to your podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.